Fantastic. Here I am, actually in the flesh. You saw me a lot on screen today. So great to be here. Great to see you today. Next week is our provision for the vision offering. I want to say thank you in advance for all of those who just hear from God and then be obedient to what it is that, God said. As I said to you many times, I don't know whether you give or not. I don't look to see whether you give or not. I don't judge anyone whether they give or not. This is a free will offering between you and God. We believe it's something that we want God would have us to do, but it's between you and God, and we're going to give glory to Him for what He's going to do and how God is just using our church to go forward. Well, are you excited about Bible Month? To be honest, I did the announcements because I wanted to speak about Bible Month, right? And I just thought, I don't know whether those guys will do it as well as I will, right? Because I just love the idea. I do think it's quite amazing that a church would have a Bible Month. I mean, hopefully every week and every month is Bible Month, right? We don't have, I won't say that. No, we don't have other book months, right? But it's so important. The Bible is so crucial to who we are as a church and who we are as Christians that every now and again I just think we need to elevate what it actually is. I mean, the guy who's coming to speak tonight, that's really what he talks a lot about, is how did we get the Bible? How can we trust the Bible? And why wouldn't it be just like any other book that's just full of nice things and wise things? And there are a lot of good books that you can read that you're going to benefit from, but why is the Bible even more? And so we want to have a look at that and lift that and put it into your hands. I mean, I've read the Bible consistently for over 40 years, and I'm actually amazed at how fresh it can still be to me. The book of Romans is a book I read regularly, and just last Tuesday morning, I'm just reading it, and I get something, wow, that's great. And I liked it so much, I decided I'm going to tell you how great it is, and that's what I'm preaching on today. So I'm going to ask that you bring a physical Bible. I see, Anthony, you bring a physical Bible, and Jason quickly shows me that he's got a physical Bible, right? That's it. That's wonderful. Good boy, Jason. All right? But I just want us to value it, to value it even more. So before I preach my message this morning, let me just tell you a little bit about why I think it's actually so important. And it'll actually lead me into my message as well. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." By the way, I just remembered. Last Friday night, our youth group, we had over 300 kids from our youth group go along to what was called Wonder World. It's something that Youth Alive puts on, and Youth Alive is a youth movement given to preaching the gospel to a generation of kids that aren't hearing the gospel maybe as what we did when we were younger. And they go into all the schools, and this week they did a big concert and rally on the south side at a place called the Butter Factory or something like that. Kingston Butter Factory, and let me tell you, thanks for that, right? And I'm going to tell you where it is in Kingston, right, the Butter Factory. They had over 1,200 decisions for Jesus. That's amazing. That is amazing. Now, I know I'm preaching, but I just feel compelled. We need to pray for those 1,200 kids. Their whole lives are ahead of them. And let them make decisions based on what the Word says about God, about what the purpose who their Maker has for them. So I know we're sitting for a while, so why don't you stand? If just for one moment, let's just pray for all of these kids. Father, you are so real. And Father, there's so much hopelessness and so much negativity spoken over these young people, oh God. But on Friday night, they heard the good news and they responded to the good news of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, I pray for every one of these kids, oh God. Father, that made a step, oh Lord. Father, some are today just loving us. Some are kind of wondering about it. Some are being persecuted for it today, oh Lord. But Father, I pray, take everyone on from this moment onwards, oh Lord, from that point of connection, oh Lord. Father, it's not walking out the front that saves someone. It's not the putting up of their hand that sees someone receive salvation, oh God. But Father, it's a step. And I pray, oh Lord, that Father, they continue stepping towards you. Father, I pray, oh Lord, be so real to each and every one of them this week, oh Lord. I bind the enemy who would seek to take them away. I bind the enemy who would seek to just bring them away and distract them, oh God. Father, Lord, put a hedge of protection of your spirit over each one and let them walk with you, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can take your seats. Sorry, let me get back to my preamble before I actually preach. I should preach by 11. All right. So now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we also understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So we see in this scripture that people get commended for their faith. When Jesus walked the earth on 10 separate occasions, he actually commends someone for their faith. Jesus took note of the faith of people. He said things like, "Go, your faith has made you well." It says, seeing their faith, it actually prompted Jesus into action. There are two times where he marveled at someone's faith. One time he marveled at someone's lack of faith. In recent years, we've got a little bit scared about preaching faith because some preachers have twisted it and made it about getting a new Rolls Royce, or worse still, have made it about, well, if you got sick, then you must have sin or something negative happened to you, you lacked faith. And so they use that positive message to actually make people feel bad, and that isn't right. And I want to say, I've had the horrible experience of having to comfort someone after someone died, and that person took it because they didn't have faith, that person died. And let me tell you, it's one of the more horrible experiences I've ever had to go through, because they're blaming themselves for the death of their loved one because they didn't have enough faith. And that's because it's been preached in error, sometimes we have let go of that truth. And we can't let go of a truth just because someone preached it in error. This was something that we see in the Bible worked. Faith works. Faith moved the hand of God. Faith took the attention of Jesus. Paul, one day he's preaching, it says he stops because he saw that someone had the faith to be made well. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible. Everyone say the word impossible. Impossible to please him. You can't please God without faith. Impossible is a pretty encompassing word. There's not a lot of wriggle room in the word impossible. So how does that play out in reality? This morning, if you praise God and worshiped hard, that's not what pleased God. It was the faith posture in which you worshipped that pleased the Lord. I want to say to the deacons and the musicians, the tech guys and all the people who did all the work to make church happen this morning, got here at 7:30. I want to say to you this morning that your service wasn't what pleased God, but your faith in sacrificing your own comfort and time so that we could have comfort and have a good time, that pleases God. God was certainly pleased with that. You know, next week as we come to our provision for the vision and you give an uncomfortable amount of money for you because you're acting in response to what you believe God has asked, it's not the amount of money that God goes, wow, I'm really pleased with that. It's the faith in which that you showed and your faithfulness in doing that, that God is pleased in. See, everything that we do has to come from a posture, from an attitude of faith. And faith is important, and I'm eventually going to preach a bit about that a little bit later. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, how do we get faith? And I'm glad the Bible does tell us, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get faith by hearing God's word. God is wanting Emerge Church to multiply. You've seen the Provision for the Vision video 100 times by now, right? And he's calling us into a season of multiplication. And that's going to happen by faith and through faith. And we need God's word to have that faith. It's not going to happen just by strategy or just by being professional or having programs in departments or even great services, but by faith. When we use the God-given gifts and the God-given brains and we walk in wisdom and humility and use what God has given to us, but we do it in faith. We need to engage faith to see the multiplication that God is wanting us to see. And we've got a word from God. Acts 9:31. I put my faith into this. So the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria, through Redcliffe, Morayfield, and Warner, had peace and was being built up. We're doing good. Things are great. And walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. That's our word. That's what I'm believing. I felt that that's what God has said to us. So I have a faith that we're going to multiply. I really, really sense that. So we need faith to make that happen. But faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So in the month of September, we're going to lift the value in the eyes of everyone of the word of God so that faith would rise in all that we're doing and that would please God. Because I want to be part and pastor a church that's pleasing God. So enough of my ramble. Let me actually get to preach. Father, I ask that you would just use me this morning to, Father, to proclaim a truth. And Father, I pray, let it stir faith. Yeah. Let it stir faith in people's hearts today. I just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me have a look and read you a portion of scripture that I just read, probably for the 1,000th time, but saw something very fresh on Tuesday morning. Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham. I had to read all that because I really wanted to get to this, the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, seeing he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. That's our theme this year. Fully convinced that God was able to do as he had promised. So Abraham has got a problem. He doesn't have an heir. And in that society, that was a big deal, and he was quite a well-off person. He's 99 years old, and his wife's womb, same age, is barren. He's got an issue, he's got a problem. And I want to say, we all have problems. And many a times, the problems that we have, like Abraham, are close to home. If you think of your real issues, they're close to home. It's not something way out there. It's something that's close. It's about your future. It's about the things that you fear. There's issues and problems. You can be here this morning and you go, I want to buy a house, but my gosh, every month it's harder. Every month houses are going up. How can we ever afford to buy a house? You might be here this morning and saying, man, we really want to have kids and we love practicing, but we haven't got pregnant yet. Right? Like what's going on? Like every month you have a moment of disappointment and it's hard. Maybe you've got a health issue. Maybe there's a marriage issue. Maybe there's finance issue. Maybe there's an issue with one of your children, but it hurts. And you're not seeing the change that you want to see. We all have those things. In fact, it was one of these things that I'm believing for, that I believe I have a word from God about, but as time goes on, is almost becoming more and more impossible. And I wonder what God is doing. And I wonder how it's ever going to come to pass that I've got this word. It's this situation that I'm going through that actually made this powerful to me. Because every time I kind of like see that the impossibleness of it, God just says, trust me. And I go, well, give me something to trust, right? Like, but it just, that's all he says, just trust me. I'm going to do it. You've got a word. You've got what it is. So I want to give a couple of points around faith from this passage. Number one is you need a word from God. Abraham gets a word from God. I haven't got an heir. I need an heir. My wife's womb is barren. But he gets his promise. I have made you the father of many nations. Well, I don't care about the nations. I just want one kid. Does it make sense? You kind of go, I don't care. I just want one. Right? Like, and God says, no. He gets a word from God. But the word from God covers all of Abraham's fears. He's going to make you a father of many nations. He's speaking about his future. He's speaking about what he's going to become. Like Abraham says, is my whole life just going to be there and that's it? Or is it going to actually count? I'm going to be the father of many nations. And that's what I love about a word from God. It actually covers the fears that you have. It speaks, and that's how you know it's from God. It's not just an answer or a solution to a problem. It's something that comes in here and actually answers your fears. It takes your fears away. Like God can all-encompassing do this thing. And so what happens is that the fear of the issue that the issue produces, that the problem that you're facing produces, is countered by the word, the hope that the word of God gives you. Yeah. So there's no hope, but all of a sudden I get this word and I have hope. So what happens is it's countered. You've now kind of like got two realities almost, a choice to make as about which one are you going to go with. And so having a problem that to look at, you now have something concrete that gets you past that problem. You now can have faith. You can now look past that. That's hearing the word of God. Now, I don't want to go on and on every time I preach about getting cancer last year, but this is just a great analogy or something. At the same time I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, I was actually diagnosed with an aggressive melanoma in my shoulder, just up here. It was so aggressive that it was actually much more dangerous than my prostate cancer. It was so aggressive, the doctor rang me and said, you need to come in now. Not tomorrow, not next week. You need to come in now. And then they cut it out. And as they cut it out, I felt the Lord say to me this, as they cut it out of your eyes, they cut this cancer out of your arm, so they will cut the cancer from the, out of the prostate and you will be well. And so faith came into my heart. There is something that I was able to anchor myself to. And that's what the Bible says, faith is an anchor. I can hold on to that. I'm not going to be tossed to and fro by all the things. Now there's issues that having operations and that does that I've got to go on, but the cancer's gone. Yeah. Does it make sense? It's not going to be the death of me, right? Like the cancer's gone. And that's what happens. Faith, all of a sudden this thing, I don't need to fear the cancer because God is in control. Yeah. That's all it needed, this thing. I can read all the scriptures, and that's what happens is that you can read all the scriptures, you can read all the things, and that's great. But one day you got to hear it, yeah. Right? You can listen, but someday you got to hear it. This is what it's saying to me. And that's why just going and kind of like playing Bible trivia and just throwing out different Bible verses, until you actually hear it, right, you don't receive it. It's got to be heard. Yeah. God's speaking to you. There's a point of connection into your spirit. Now, I don't believe getting a word from God is that hard. I actually believe all you need to do is ask genuinely. If you genuinely want to hear from God, He will speak to you. God's not going to play hide and seek with you. God wants to give you something. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, and it's actually talking about situation wisdom, let that man ask of God. Right? And then what it says, and God will give liberally and without finding fault. So it's not going to be like an eyedropper, as I spoke last week. It's going to be liberally, and He's not going to say, well, you didn't do it the right way. No, it's just you're asking. But there is this other foundation that's very, very important. You've got to actually realize who it is that you're asking. You're asking God. You're asking the God that can. You're asking the God that created the heavens and the earth. You're asking a God of all power. You're asking a God who loves you. You're asking a God who cares for you. You have to actually know and understand who it is that you're asking. Yeah. Right? If I want to do something with music, I'm not going to ask Nina unless it's an Italian squeeze box. Right? I'm going to ask Jason. If I were to say, Jason, I want us to sing this song. Can you get the band to do that? I've got great confidence that Jason can do it. If I were to ask the same thing of Nina, I don't know. She could do it, but probably not the same way that anyone wants to hear. All right? It's the truth. It's the truth. Honey, your voice is beautiful to me. See, that's what you've got to understand, who it is you're asking. That's where the power comes from. Because it's not you, it's God, and all of a sudden God is in your situation. You need to believe that God is God. Abraham, when he gets his word from God that he's going to be the father of many nations, is encouraged by who God is. Your faith has a basis, has a foundation, something that you can stand upon, and it's God. That's the benefit of having a word. That's the benefit of faith. Faith, what happens, changes my mind from looking at the situation to looking to God who can do something about the situation. Faith is the ultimate mind changer. Look at what God says when He tells Abraham, you're going to be father. And it says this, Romans 4:17, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that don't exist. When we ask of God, do we really believe that He can do the impossible? Paul brings to mind here in this scripture, the creation. From nothing, God created something. God doesn't need anything from you to create the answer to His promise or to your situation. Your answer, your completed promise has yet to exist. What I'm believing for, what I'm in my area, the thing that I'm believing God for, has yet to exist. If it existed, I wouldn't be praying for it. If it had come to pass what I want to see, I wouldn't be asking God for it. I wouldn't need a word from God. So do you really believe that God can bring your promise to pass? A promise and belief go hand in hand. One without the other is actually impotent. It creates nothing. In fact, your belief is the only thing that you can add to the promise. And promise and belief, when those two things come together, what it does is it creates hope. From hopelessness, this situation is terrible, horrible, I don't like it. A word from God comes, I now have hope. And now we're going to have a look how hope moves into faith. Number two, in hope, you must believe against hope. Romans 4:18, Abraham in hope believed against hope. There was no hope in the natural for Abraham. If you're 99 years old, right, and you haven't had a baby yet, it ain't going to happen. Right, to be honest, it sounds terrifying that being a father at 99, right? Being a grandfather would be good one day. All right, so just thought I'd throw that out there. Jack's on holidays. That's right. Sorry, I got distracted. See, what you're believing for is hopeless in the natural. When I look at what I'm believing for, it's hopeless. To be honest, what I'm seeing is the opposite of what I'm believing for and what I believe God. And what we have to do is we have to keep hope even when it seems hopeless. See, your hope, like Abraham, is going to be attacked in two areas. All of your promises that you have, the things you're believing for, are going to be attacked in these two areas as well. And we, like Abraham, have to hope against hope. So number three point is you will feel personally unable. That's the first attack. Romans 4:19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. In hoping against hope, there will always come an attack against you. Why it can't happen to you? Why you did something wrong? Why you haven't got any say or influence in the situation? Why you're unable to create something yourself. It's where you see your complete inability to produce what it is that you need. But like Abraham, we can't weaken our faith. We must keep our faith strong. Unfortunately, no promise from God goes unchallenged. I wish it was, because we're believing for the impossible. If it was natural, it's just being, let's come and make a wise solution. This is a problem, let's just do A, B, C, and D. But I need a supernatural solution because there isn't a natural solution to this. So we've got to not weaken in faith. And unfortunately, as I said, no promise from God goes unchallenged. And then Abraham has to endure another attack in his faith and his hope. And as my fourth point, the environment will feel completely unchangeable. Verse 19. He did not weaken in faith. First of all, that when he saw his own body, he did not weaken in faith when he considered Sarah's barrenness. In hoping against hope, there will come an attack about the impossibility of the environment. Just can't happen. Look at the past. Look at the conditions. It hasn't happened before. It's just too big of a problem. Once again, Abraham doesn't weaken in faith. And we need to continue hoping in hope, or against hope, as Abraham did. Sarah's womb is barren. When it was supposed to work at 19, it didn't produce a baby. At 29, it didn't produce a baby. At 39, it didn't produce a baby. So at 99, what hope is there? But Abraham doesn't weaken in faith. He hopes against hope. Notice both attacks come in what he's considering. It comes in our mind. It's our mind that's trying to set the narrative. I'm called to walk by faith, but man, so often it's what I see, it's my sight. And what happens is our mind is trying to set the narrative, well, your body's as good as dead. That womb's not working at all, right? That's what I want you to look at. Don't be looking at, I've made you a father of many nations, right? Your consideration tries to get you to see the impossibility, whereas the word from God tries to get you to see what God can do. And that's the battle. That's how we don't waver in our faith. I decide, no matter what I see, that's what I'm going to look at. Yeah. That's what I'm going to consider. That's what I'm going to hear. That's what I'm going to receive. It's completely natural. Your mind will always be drawn to what you see. Abraham sees a dead body. He sees a barren womb. And in verse 20, it says, unbelief tries to make him waver when it comes to his promise. It's a fight, isn't it? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. There's a story of the man that came to Jesus, and he goes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe it can happen, but will it happen to me? I believe it can happen for you, but will it happen for me? And that's the fight. My unbelief, I got to not waver. I got to not allow my unbelief to inform what my belief is, but I allow the word of God. But one of the great things is that God gives us a way to fight that unbelief. Imagine just got this unbelief, but there's no way to fight it. You just got to let it attack you. You just got to let it overwhelm you. You just got to let it. But God gives us a way to fight. God puts something in our hands that we can do to make sure that I'm not going to be overwhelmed by this. And this is where I think many people don't miss out, I think, because they end up allowing unbelief to win because they don't do this next part that the Bible gives us. And it's to give God glory. Yeah. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. That's our theme this year. Give God glory. As you give God glory, it's impossible to give God glory like this. Glory gone. Does it make sense? Sometimes you may take a posture of humility. You may kneel, you may lie down, but it's in a sense of humility. But it's still giving glory to God. I lift my head with praise. I lift my hands in worship. I lift my heart. And all of a sudden I go strong. Yeah. All of a sudden I start to see what God can do. It's bigger than what the circumstances are. Yeah. Yeah. And I promise you, there's not a circumstance that any of you face that God is not bigger than. Yeah. There's not a circumstance. Even that which is dead, God can bring life to because he's the God of the resurrection. And the same power that rose Christ from the dead rests in us. And so we need to be able to have this understanding that I've got to give glory to God. And it's our words that show us where we are. Do your words reveal someone in lament, regret, negativity or cynicism? Or are we declaring what it is that God has promised? Do we spend time in praise? Do we spend time in worship? Do we spend time looking at that word and praying over that word? Do we allow the praise that's in our hearts to set the atmosphere of the situation that we're in? You know what's good about that, but also bad about that? It's we're in control of that. That's not in anyone else's control. Yeah. That's in your control. Yeah. You choose whether you're actually going to pray, sing, go after God, or whether you're just going to be overwhelmed by whatever it is that's going on. And this isn't a short thing that Abraham went through. Yeah. This is something. Right? See, what happens? I think about what I'm believing for. When I see something happen that's the opposite of what I know I've got a word from. I know that God has spoken to me. I know it, but I see it and it tries to make me waver, tries to make a fight between belief and unbelief. Oh, that's happening, but God, I'll get this word. And without that, without actually going and praising, I will always come back down to the negative. It's just how we are as humans. We'll go down to the negative that it can't happen. But the moment I decide, no, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to go into that place of praise. I'm going to go into that place of worship. I'm going to go into that place of the word. Then all of a sudden it changes. I can tell you the times when the unbelief has got to me. And I literally can't see any way that this thing could happen that I'm believing for. And to be honest, I feel sometimes like it's further away. It's not getting closer. I feel like it's getting further away. And I've had to literally make a decision to go and praise and to pray and to bring it to the Lord. And I promise you, if I don't make that decision, right? Because at that moment I'm weak, right? At that moment, the reality of the dead body and the barren womb is just way more real to me than you're going to be the father of many nations. And you'll see in the story of Abraham that there's times when God reestablished and spoke to him that word again and refreshed that word because he's starting to. He said, come on, I need you to start to believe again. And that's what God will do, but you've got to make the decision. You've got to start to do those. You need to purposely give glory to God. You need to intentionally bring to God. And that's what giving God glory is. It's actually putting the situation back into God's hands instead of your own hands. And then something remarkable happens, and I want the band to come. And you wondered why I called this message today, right? Fully convinced. It's that number six. You become fully convinced. That's what happens. Yeah. So there's this thing in me that though I don't see it, though there's no evidence that of what it is that I'm wanting to see and what I believe God's word is to me, while I see no evidence of that, I'm absolutely convinced that God's going to bring it to pass. Yeah, good. I'm convinced. Good. I there's this thing inside of me. I goes, I know it will happen. I know God is going to do it. And the thing is, I've got no control. Right? Sometimes I try and control it. Abraham tried to control the promise, and he went and slept with his servant to try and make it happen. But he was had an Ishmael, and Ishmael and Isaac are fighting to this day. Because he went and took it in his hands. And I want to say, every time you try and make it happen, it only ends up in something that's going to eventually hurt you in your future. But what happens is that as you believe what it is that God said, you become fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham, by not allowing what his mind wanted him to consider, became strong because he consistently went to God, consistently gave the glory to God. God, I haven't got an heir. God, my body's as good as dead. God, my wife's womb is barren, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to give you glory. I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to get all negative. I'm not going to get all dark about it. I'm going to lift up my hands. And I want to say, every time that I've done that, I come out of that place, nothing has changed. The situation is exactly what it was before I went into that prayer and that time and giving God glory. But when I come out of there, whoa, God's going to do something. I'm convinced. There's this thing in my heart. I've grown stronger. I walked into that place weak, bowed down, problems. Started, oh, God, you're going to do it. And I can't wait for that day. I wish it was today, right? But it might not be, but I'm going to continue raising my hands, raising my heart, raising my voice, raising my praise and giving God glory because God has given me a promise.